Welcome to How to Eat Less Water, the podcast for anyone who's concerned about the state of our environment and wants to live more sustainably, but is short on either time, money, ideas, or all three. I'm your host, Florencia Ramirez, author of the award-winning book Eat Less Water and a kitchen activist. Every Monday and Wednesday, I share bite-sized action steps anyone can implement in their kitchen. Why the kitchen? The average person eats between 500 to 1,300 gallons of virtual water every day. Our food is the best place to turn our hope for a better environment into action. Want to receive 10 tips to eat less water for your summer parties? Go to eatlesswater.com to download the free list. Now, let's dig in and grow well-being together. Welcome. This is the How to Eat Less Water podcast. This is Florencia Ramirez, your host. Last week, I had an episode on waste less food. Many of you responded to that episode, sending me emails of the things that you're doing to waste less food. And I so appreciate that because that's where the cross-pollination happens. I encourage you to send me emails with your questions or with your ideas that I can share here on this podcast at info@eatlesswater.com. Or you could direct message me on Instagram or Facebook, or even just add in the comment section under that particular episode what your ideas are. Because that's really how we're going to make a difference, is each of us individually doing this work and taking these action steps that I talk about here and that you've learned in other places, and then merging that influence so our streams of hope and action turn into mighty rivers. So today I'm going to build on the episode of waste less food with the strategy that I feel is the most effective way to waste less food in my kitchen, which is meal planning. I believe that all of these action tips that I've shared with you so far in this podcast and that I'll continue to share are merging or are flowing from this basic concept of meal planning. And you're going to find it embedded throughout what I write about, what I talk about. And if you already meal plan, that's great. You have a good habit already formed. But I'm going to dig deeper and I'm going to offer some approaches that you may or may not already implement into your weekly meal planning. And for those of you who don't have a meal planning practice, you're going to soon wonder what took you so long. Because when you start to meal plan, this is what I have found for myself. When I spend the time to plan and shop for my meals at the start of my week, three things automatically happen. One, I waste less food, which translates to more money in my pocket, because a family of four, on average, throws away $1,800 worth of food every year. And for me, when I think about it in 10-year block, $18,000 that we throw away. But with that, we're also throwing away water. We're throwing away soil. We're causing an impact on the environment that can't be measured in that food that we've thrown away. The second thing is I eat healthier. I just do when there's a plan. The third is the act of cooking feels lighter, even joyful. So I cook more often. I mean, how many of us find ourselves at the end of the day feeling overwhelmed when just thinking about what am I going to make for dinner? The effort to think about what to make for dinner in itself is the thing that can block us from actually making dinner. I remember before I had a meal planning practice instituted in my weekly round, I would come to that point in the day after doing all the things that we do in this adulting, right? taking kids to school, picking them up, taking them to their after school things, and working all day, or commuting back and forth from work, whatever it is that we do in our daily round, when it comes to the end of the day, and then you have to think about, what am I going to make for dinner? It becomes then so easy to just pick something up or make a phone call for that pizza. And I know I did the same thing, and I do the same thing when I skip meal planning, because I'm not perfect and I'm constantly relearning and reteaching. And really, in those weeks that I miss meal planning and I find myself on a Wednesday and I'm like, okay, I've already taken out food. I've already had to pick up food twice this week. It's only Wednesday, and which is more expensive, quite frankly, when you do that. And your body just doesn't feel as good when that happens. When you're eating either fast food or restaurant food, the reality is that they use a lot more salt and sugar and oil and butter and all of those things than we do in our kitchen when we're cooking for ourselves. It just is. So on Wednesday, if I find myself in that position where I've already ordered out a few times, or I'm just scrounging in the refrigerator for something to eat because I don't have any leftovers from previous meals because I haven't been cooking. And so that, going back to, you just naturally start to feel healthier when you have a meal plan and you just don't have that feeling of exhaustion anymore. That disappears for me when I have a meal plan, that feeling of exhaustion, because it's already written down what I'm having for dinner that night. The ingredients have already been purchased, so all I have to do is go into the kitchen, start taking out the ingredients that are in my refrigerator and in my pantry ready to go, and then it just has an ease that comes with making dinner. So when we resist making dinner at night, or when, you know, when I hear people say, oh, I hate making dinner, is it the dinner part that we hate, or is it the precursor to the making dinner of just not having a plan of what to make for dinner? So this is what I do. For many years, I would turn a wall, a door, right now it's the interior of a pantry, into a chalkboard. And that became kind of the central meal planning place. And on there, I write menu and then Sunday through Saturday. Then I have another chalkboard, or I have one portion of the chalkboard dedicated to the things and the ingredients necessary to execute those meals. I really like this system because everybody knows what we're having, so the kids don't have to ask me what's for dinner, and I just know where I can look because I don't remember what we're having for dinner. I know today we have something scheduled that's written on the chalkboard, but I don't even remember what it is because I don't need to. I don't need to know what we're making for dinner until it's time for me to make dinner, unless it's something that's a slow-cooked meal and needs to be put into the crock pot earlier like we did yesterday. When I am able to plan my meals for the week, then I also know what activities I'm doing during the week. For example, when I sat down to meal plan, I knew on Tuesday I was going to be in LA for most of the day, and I wouldn't be home in time to make dinner. So knowing that, I had two choices. I can make it a flex night, which is eating things that we have already in the refrigerator, leftovers from previous meals in the week. I could pick up food, or I could have something slow cooking, which I love to do. So the slow cooker is one of my best friends in the kitchen because I knew that I would have some time in the morning before I headed out to make the meal. And then it just cooks for me all day. By the time I got home, I walk into the house and it smells extraordinary. And all we had to do is turn off the slow cooker grab our bowls, and dinner was made. But I needed to plan in order to accomplish that. I needed to look at the week so then I'm able to figure out what is the best type of meal to have on that particular day. So I have the chalkboard where we write down what we're going to have for the week. I've done that for years. And recently, I've taken it further and I created a template that I'm working on for the book I'm writing, How to Eat Less Water, to include, and started to really think about what would be the ways that I can go that next step, that next level of wasting less food with my meal planning. So now I begin by looking at what are the ingredients that I need to use this week. So that's the first thing I do. Before, I would sit with my husband or by myself, and I would have a few cookbooks with me just to give me inspiration or to actually give me recipes that I wanted to cook that week. And I would start to come up with the meal plan, knowing what our schedules were, and then knowing that one day, usually Thursdays, I embed the flex night. The flex night, which is a day that we eat the leftovers from earlier in the week. That was my plan of execution for the meal planning. The next level would be to first start by looking at the ingredients that you have in your refrigerator and in your pantry, and especially in your produce bins. What are the things that you have that need to be cooked that week? And then from there, you build your meal plan. For example, if I open up my produce bin, I have beets, I have kale that haven't been eaten from the previous week. So what I then do is to think about what are recipes that I can use building upon those ingredients. So can I make a quiche, for example, that uses kale? Or can I saute the beets and the kale and make a Buddha bowl with a grain that I have? So those are the ways that I start to come up with meal planning based on those ingredients. Or if I see that, wow, I have a lot of eggs and I need to start using those. Again, the quiche, the tortilla española, a frittata. So you start to think about what are those types of recipes that you can utilize. What I also love to do is simply go to my computer and I do a search and I'll say recipes with beets. Recipes with kale. You'll get results with all kinds of wonderful ideas for those ingredients. So that's a fun way to expand the meals that you cook in your kitchen, because we tend to just cook the same things over and over again, which is fine, but it's also fun to mix it up and bring new flavors and new combinations into your kitchen. So those are the simple ways to begin a meal planning regimen or a meal planning practice. And I promise you that once you begin this practice, you will waste less food. You will eat healthier, and the act of cooking will feel lighter and even joyful, because you will find yourself cooking more often, and that feeling of overwhelm of thinking about what to make for dinner will just begin to evaporate. I hope you found this helpful. This is just a beginning for meal planning. I invite you to share with me what you're doing in your kitchen and how you approach your meal planning to give me more ideas that I can share with this audience. On my Instagram, I will post some of the chalkboards that I've used, from the one in my current kitchen to my past kitchens, and what those chalkboards look like. It might give you some ideas of how you can turn a wall or the back of a pantry into a chalkboard to hold the meals that you plan for the week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm here every Monday and Wednesday offering action tips that you can implement in your kitchen starting now, because there is power in the collective. Be well. Let's stay connected. Sign up for my newsletter and receive more tips in your inbox weekly and 15% off your first purchase at the Eat Less Water Shop. You can also find me on your favorite social media space at Eat Less Water. Please remember to hit subscribe and leave a review, even if it's only the star rating, because every one of them will increase the chances of other like-minded folks to find us. Thank you for joining me on this journey to eat less water. Together, we will write the story of well-being for this planet we have the privilege to call home. Meet you back here every Monday and Wednesday. There is power in the collective.